RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
And by Go RVing. If you want to see firsthand what it's like to find your way, visit the Go RVing team at an event near you. Head on over to GoRVing.com, click on the Where to Find tab, then click on Where is Go RVing. Find your way. Go RVing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about one of our favorite annual family camping experiences, visiting Yogi Bear's Camp Jellystone Parks. Jellystone campgrounds have cornered the market on family fun, and we want to share some of the things that they are doing right.
Plus, we invited Michelle Wisher, VP of Marketing and Promotions for the Jellystone brand, back onto the show to chat about all the great new parks, partnerships, and promotions on the horizon for Yogi Bear and friends.
You might think that family camping has to be remote and rustic, but we know that a single visit to a resort Jellystone park might just spoil you for good. You are listening to episode 144, What's New at Camp Jellystone 2017.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, what's new at Camp Jellystone 2017, it is time for our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Go RVing.
Did you know there are over 4 million miles of road in the United States?
I did know that.
You did?
I did.
You know that, knew that fact?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, some of them take you home and some of them take you away.
Our Away has taken us to national parks, vibrant cities, beaches, and mountains. It's taken us around the corner and across the country.
At Away, Go RVing brings you stories from real people who've hit the road in their RVs and are in search of finding their Away.
Get inspired to hit the road and find your Away at away.goRVing.com. Find your Away. Go RVing. And I believe the Girl Campers have a fresh new video up on that micro site. That looks like fun.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Love to hang out with the Girl Campers when they let me.
I think that that's their second Go Camp Girl Camper movie that's up on that.
Lots of cool videos there.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for our news roundup. So Family Adventure Day is at Cabela's. It's Saturday, June 10th, one day only. We're going to be at the Hamburg Cabela's store. So that's the most desirable Cabela's store in the country to go to on that day, though they're going to be having events at all of their stores. And we're going to be there with our toy hauler.
Yep.
We're setting up camp out in the parking lot at Cabela's, and you can come by. We'll give you a tour of the toy hauler. You can test out all our Cabela's chairs, which you could do in the store too.
Yeah, they should have some there.
They'll have some. If not, they're in stock.
Ours are broken in.
If they're sold out at the store, they're, you know, we have
should
them
we sell ours?
at the toy hauler. So stop by and say hello. Lots of fun for the whole family. All right.
Sure. So some of the activities that, just to give you an example of what they have going on there, the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary is going to have their volunteers on site to be talking about bird migration routes and everything like that. We've been to the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary a couple of times. And well, you can read about our funny experiences there, but it is a beautiful place and people will be on site there for that. Also, there's going to be somebody from Talons, which is a Birds of Prey group, and they're going to be doing like raptor demonstrations.
I
and
love
everything.
Raptor demonstrations.
I love that. I love them. I could watch the falconry, it's called, right? So
yeah.
There's somebody there that's going to be doing that.
face painting,
yeah.
balloon animals.
Yeah.
And you can always go into that store and test out some archery equipment.
Right.
That's
yeah, there's
for sure.
Gonna be, and there's going to be like a crossbow demonstration. So there's definitely going to be lots of stuff for the kids there.
In other news, Rova, really great new magazine that's out. Beautiful magazine, beautiful paper. They have their second issue out, and they call them Adventures. So it's Adventure 2. It's their summer 2017 issue. And we're in it, and we're really proud to be in it. So we have an article about summertime in the Great Lakes State, from Traverse City to Sleeping Bear Dunes. And I really loved revisiting that trip and seeing those pictures appear in Rova. And we are going to do a great giveaway with Rova. So the editor at Rova has agreed to give away one gift subscription to our podcast listeners. Stephanie, what do they have to do to win?
What you have to do is keep an eye out over on our Instagram account, all right? So RV Family Travel Atlas is our Instagram handle. If you're following us over there sometime in the next week, that picture is going to pop up with our contest giveaway instructions, and you can join in over there.
Yeah, and it's a really great magazine. Lots of great content, lots of great articles, and lots of beautiful photography. We also have a post up.
If I do say so myself.
Well, I took nice pictures, and so it's a very photographable region of the country. We also did a recent post for Go RVing on their blog, and it's about 10 tips for having a magical RV vacation at Walt Disney World. So if you're considering camping at Fort Wilderness and doing the whole Disney World thing, you want to head over to the Go RVing blog and take a read on that one.
A reminder that we always link to all the things mentioned in our news roundup over on our show notes page for this episode. So if you go over to RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, you'll see episode number 144, and you'll see all the show notes and links for that. And what you'll also see this time is a link for our Campground of the Week episode number 83, which is paired with this episode.
So this episode is all about what's new with Camp Jellystone, and the Campground of the Week has our really great review of the Jellystone Park in Maryland near Hagerstown, which is a new, like, total favorite for Stephanie and I. So linked podcasts all about Yogi Bear and all about Jellystone Park. So check out Campground of the Week this week as well. We also did a Facebook Live from the campground on a golf cart. We drove around and did the Facebook Live, and we did about a 15-minute tour of the campground, and it was a lot of fun, and I think people enjoyed getting that look at the campground.
Yes, so you can see that in the show notes too.
Now, we are about, 3 weeks away from our epic journey out to the Pacific Northwest, mm-hmm. and we're going to be staying at three different Highway West Vacations properties, and we are so excited to cover these properties and go out and see what Highway West is all about.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're really focusing on in this trip is, what about the times when you want the campground experience, which for us is almost all the time when we travel. We would always prefer to be staying at a campground. We talked about that a lot with our Fort Wilderness content. Like, it is so much better for us to stay at a campground, even if we cannot bring our RV. So it would take us too long to drive all the way across country.
50 hours in the truck with those three boys.
You know, to get out there, and it would really limit our time enjoying. So this trip, we really want to focus on those alternate types of accommodations that you can find at campgrounds for when you're doing a fly and drive vacation. And Highway West does this. They're spot on.
They have Airstream rentals.
Right.
They have vintage RV rentals. They have safari tents. They have cabins. They have lodges. And, of course, RV sites at all these campgrounds,
right.
too. So it really is mixed outdoor lodging, which I love. So this summer, you're going to see some great pictures of us in, like, the safari tent right on the beach. And we are just incredibly excited for
this. Yeah. So you can explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West. You can visit highwaywestvacations.com to see all of the properties that they have in Utah, California, Oregon, Washington.
And for the month of July, you're going to be seeing pictures of all those properties on our social media accounts. And then we'll be doing some great podcasts about those properties in late July and August.
Yeah. All right. So stay tuned. We are doing a whole episode on all of the fun stuff that we know about Yogi
Bear.
Hey,
boo, boo.
And you're probably going to hear that quite a few times.
How many times can
episode.
I say it, Cindy Bear?
You've got three.
And don't you dare call me boo boo.
That burned, huh?
Well, I'm your yogi. I'm your yogi.
You're feeling like you're being, the competition is fierce with Boo Boo.
Yeah. Boo Boo's too young for Cindy. That would never work.
How do you know how old Boo Boo is?
Because Cindy's
why?
Twice as tall.
Okay, we can't get into this now. All right. So in this episode, what we're going to do is we are going to talk about some of the things that we really feel like the Jellystone Parks are doing right. And we're looking at this as sort of trend setting within the campground industry. We're also going to talk about some fun facts about Yogi Bear and Jellystone Parks in general, because it's just kind of the history. Oh,
the history of Yogi is fun. It's a slice of Americana. And so we always love visiting these campgrounds, and we always love doing some Jellystone content on this podcast.
And then we're going to wrap up with a great interview with Michelle Wisher. You heard her last year on our show. We invited her back on to talk about just sort of the direction that the parks are taking, what they're excited about, new partnerships that they have.
New partnerships. Yeah. Can you say tiny houses?
Yeah. It's creative. It's interesting. And we like to get it right from the source. And Michelle Wisher is the vice president of marketing and promotions for Leisure Systems, which runs the franchising for these Yogi Bear parks. So very interesting interview with her. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our first segment in our big What's New at Camp Jellystone 2017 episode. We're going to talk about five things that we think the Jellystone campgrounds are really getting right and kind of on point and setting trends in the industry. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
You can elevate your family's road trips for years to come with the Pinnacle Luxury Fifth Wheel line from Jayco. The Pinnacle's hardwood cherry cabinets and trim, stainless steel fixtures, and brand name furniture will take your family fun to the next level of luxury, and it's backed by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty. Visit your Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
So a reminder here, Jellystone campgrounds are franchises and they're owned and operated individually. And there are some companies that own a few of them, you know, that own two of them or 12 of them. And then a lot of them are just family owned and they own one of them, right? So we want to talk about the things that they're getting right. And you have to remember that not every single thing is happening at every single Jellystone, because there is a lot of variation within the system. Though there are also some things in common that you're going to see from park to park, such as Yogi Bear.
Right. And Michelle Wisher will discuss more of those like absolute standards for a Yogi park. And in our interview with her, she reminds us that activity schedule is like a primary driving force of the Jellystone sort of brand. But at the same time, we want you to know, we're talking about the best campgrounds that we've been to and these Jellystones that are doing it right. And, you know, we think that that applies pressure on a lot of the other campgrounds within the chain to sort of up their game. For example, there's some of those parks that have been owned by a family for decades that are now throwing a lot of money into building up their water features or things like that, because they see that it's working at these other parks. So it's just interesting to look at what is really at the best of these Jellystones that we've been to.
So first, we are always really impressed with planned group recreation at the Yogi Bear campgrounds that we visit. And our boys are impressed by it. They love these summer camp type activities that you see at a Jellystone park that you're not going to see at a lot of other campgrounds, Stephanie. So what are some examples of planned recreation?
All right. These are things that you did on field day at your school, right? At your elementary school growing up. Relay races, sack races, tug of war battles, kickball games, water balloon fights. We're not talking about the things that cost a lot of money. The only cost here is a camp counselor to run the event. And it only has to be for a half hour. You know, it could be just field games. We've been to a handful of campgrounds that had like field type games every single day at 2 or every single morning at 10.
And you're going to see way more of them in the summer season, obviously, and then even way more on the weekends. But this is at the heart and soul of the Jellystone experience, because it doesn't matter if it's one of their biggest parks with water slides or one of their smallest sort of family-owned mom-and-pop campgrounds, you're going to see the planned activities. And we've said time and time again, our boys would probably rather go to a planned game like a relay race or Gaga Ball than go on a $1 million water slide. So we love those experiences. Our boys love those experiences, and they're available at all of the Jellystone parks, particularly in season in the summertime.
Yeah, and ramping that up would be, to me, the single suggestion to campground owners who want to sort of do more for the family experience. You know, don't throw a bunch of money into a new playground even. You know, provide those field games. Kids love it.
And even there's even some kind of hipper, cooler things. Like you did Yogi-size recently at Jellystone in Maryland where you exercise with the bears in the morning.
It's adorable. Like the bears are sitting there doing stretches and everything. And the camp counselor who ran the flag raising just then said, okay, everybody get in a big circle. And all the kids did a little Yogi size. I mean,
and
I was
even
like,
said, well,
oh,
what exercises do you want to do? And one of the kids said push-ups. And apparently the bears can't do push-ups.
Yeah, the bears don't
the counselor
have upper
explained
body
they don't have the upper body strength for that. Yeah. But what a fun way to start the day. And just really simple and fun and refreshing. All right, so number two. We like that there's limited additional add-on expenses and that at a Jellystone Park, a lot of the activities and amenities are included for free in your nightly fee. Not everything, but a lot.
Well, I see more. That's what I would say, that we're trending in the right direction here. So we visited our first Yogi Park back in...
5 years ago.
Yeah, I would struggle to even know the year in Luray. And we were blown away by that experience. We were like, look at this. But even then at that time at the campground, I'm not sure if it still happens, you had to pay additional cost to use the large water slide. And I didn't like that. I was like, I don't want to pay additional. It's staring there in the face. Like, I want my kids to just be able to do it. I think that we are trending in the direction of having more and more available on site for not an additional cost. For example, paddle boats at that campground were free and available to just go down and take a paddle boat out.
And we love,
love
the mini golf. You know, like when you can just walk up at any point and grab a club and grab a ball and play mini golf with the kids, that's a really nice little add-on feature where you don't have to get in the car and drive away from the campground. And you don't have to spend extra money to do it. So we love the free mini golf. And you always say, Stephanie, like you hate when we go to a campground that has like a rinky-dink golf course, mini golf course, and then you have to pay for it.
Oh,
and these aren't
crazy.
And at these Yogis, these aren't rinky-dink mini golf
courses. Nice.
They're nice.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of like your local mini golf course.
They also
have,
you know, also these recreation departments oftentimes have the ball that kids can come and get for the basketball game, or the horseshoes that you can come and get to play the horseshoes. Things like that. You just go, you sign them out, and you use them for free. You're not paying to do the activities, and it's super user friendly. I've seen that trend at these parks really develop over the course of the last 5 years. I'd like to see it go even further.
Yeah, and you think it is sort of going in that direction, and we like seeing it go in that direction, and we've always said we'll pay a little more for our nightly fee to get those things wrapped into the price.
Absolutely.
Now, number three, and we're both noticing this more and more. There's at Jellystone Parks, there's a lot of entertainment and activities for tweens and teens. And a lot of campgrounds don't get that right. They don't do that. They don't even try.
Yeah, there's sort of this like middle area of like maybe between 4 and 7, right? That like all the things are geared to, like pumpkin painting and stuff like that, right? Like your 11-year-old kid does not want to paint a pumpkin, you know?
Yeah. And I would really encourage our podcast. A lot of our podcast listeners have teenagers. And I do feel like sometimes those listeners feel left out a little bit on campground activities. A lot of you probably think, oh, Jellystone Parks are for little kids. I'm telling you, that's not the case. After visiting a lot of them over the last 3 years, I really do think that your teenager will have fun at a Jellystone Park. They're not going to probably want to go give Yogi Bear a hug or take a picture with him or do sand art, but they'll want to do an organized game of volleyball or basketball or something like that.
Yeah, and so things that are on the horizon, we just were at a campground, the Hagerstown Jellystone, that had ninja training courses. This is great for older kids, and it was good. Like, you had, like, there was one part of it that's the rings. There's other parts.
It was like challenging.
A trampoline to try to jump up and grab this, like, fringed
and
rope.
That course was for ages 10 and up.
Yeah.
But it would have been very challenging for a 15 or 16-year-old.
Oh, sure. And they would have done it over and over again, and hopefully they plan on even developing it more. And then the water slides, you know, were large enough that that is definitely a teenager. We were thrilled to ride those water slides. There was no doubt. And you couldn't even go on it if you were under 42 inches.
I went down, I think, 48 inches.
Okay.
Because Wesley was standing there for 5 minutes moping.
He measured himself every time we
went. He just kept measuring himself.
To see if he had grown.
That's why I can remember it so clearly in my mind. But I enjoyed those water slides. They were fun, fast water slides. Also, I heard two teenagers talking about how there was laser tag at a teenager-only laser tag game that night. I thought, what a cool idea, because a 16-year-old is going to be an awful lot different than an 8-year-old at laser tag.
Yeah, and that way they can have those times. Just like we said, we liked that they did the little kid bounce time on the jump pillow. It's just as important to have the big kid laser tag time where they can be like – big, goofy teenagers without having to worry about running over a little kid. Your teenagers need that time to be able to just have fun without worrying about the little kids. So we like that.
And we think Camp Jellystone is the setting a trend here, right?
Yeah.
Segmenting by age is really smart. Just a couple times a day.
Right.
Right? Because the 6-year-old's different than the 16-year-old. We all know that. So they do need different activities.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes when you go to an actual like amusement park, we have to make a decision between whether we're going to go to one of those amusement parks that's better for Wesley because he's 4, or one of the amusement parks that's better for Max and Theo. And a lot of the time, it's hard to find a compromise in between. And these Jellystone parks have become a place where we know that both of those ages will have a blast and be served well. And we can do different things with our different kids at times of the day.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I used to think that visiting the Jellystone parks would just be something we did when the boys were really young. And now that we've gone to more and more of them, I will totally still be taking the kids to Jellystone parks when they're 18 years old.
Now,
absolutely.
They will not hug Yogi. Yeah. Or they will.
Or maybe
sometimes
they will in sort of an ironic selfie with Yogi. Like they'll get past the part.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not cool. And then it's cool again. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
But Wesley told me last night, he said his favorite part about Yogi was giving the Jellystone park was giving Boo Boo a high five. And he said this, he goes, he was so snuggly.
Wesley is still nervous to hug the bears.
But he gave him a high five.
But he's doing high fives now. And he told me, he said, Dad, next year I'm going to hug Yogi.
He's planning.
He's autobiographical planning.
We'll keep you posted.
Number four. And this might be the one that I'm most impressed about the Jellystone Parks. The customer service training for the camp counselors. We're seeing teenagers and college-age kids working at these Jellystones, and they are awesome. They're awesome with the kids. They're friendly. They're polite. They're respectful. They're helpful. There was one probably 20-year-old guy at this Camp Jellystone who anytime kids walked by, he's like, are you guys having fun? Is there anything I can do? Like just in engaging and interacting. And again, it's like that summer camp counselor that you had when you were a kid if you did that type of thing.
The lifeguards that were up at the top of the water slides up there, like positioning everybody. Every time you went up there, they would be like, oh, are you guys racing? Which color? Like they weren't annoyed by the situation of this kid being like, oh, I'm going to race this other kid. I'm going to wait for this, you know, slide. I want to wait for blue. I want to wait for green. They were like thrilled to facilitate that. They'd be like, all right, just go over and wait there. And, you know, and they were like, okay. And then they'd call out 1, 2, 3, go. Like, cause we were racing our kids. So like I would be racing Max and she would count down for us to go for the race. Like they were engaged with that whole experience.
What a great summer job.
Yeah.
I mean, what customer service training, life training in terms of being friendly, being polite, being helpful. I would love it if our kids wanted to work at a Camp Jellystone one summer. And here's the other dynamic that's interesting. Our 8-year-old boys will look at and admire a 20-year-old guy more than they will a 40 or 50-year-old guy. I mean, because that 20-year-old is cool to them.
Yeah.
And it's a role model to them. And they are polite and respectful 20-year-olds. They are good role models for our kids. So that has made me very happy at Jellystone Parks in our last few visits over the last few years.
All right. So number five, I'm really happy to see that a lot of these parks that are investing so much in their amenities are still paying attention to the campsite experience. So even though it's important to have all these extra add-ons and all these resort amenities, I still feel that when you go to a campground, the number one thing that RVers want is a great site. I do think that.
I think at the end of the day,
yeah, you want a site that's really well maintained, that's well landscaped, that offers a bit of separation from your neighbor and you don't feel like you're in a parking lot.
At the end of the day, mom and dad are paying to camp at Camp Jellystone. And Stephanie's so right. Like our site was lovely at Jellystone, Maryland. We put a hammock up. We were relaxed. We had campfires there. The next site over was not right on top of us. There was good separation. You know, people don't want to pay and then show up and have the next RV staring them in the face. So, you know, put a little landscaping in between your sites and charge a little more. And we think that the Jellystones are doing a nice job of making the sites more modern and more customer friendly.
Yeah, nice concrete pads, nice fire pits. They're paying attention to that. And I complimented the manager of the campground on that. And he said, he was like, well, yeah, I want to do more. He's like, I have plans for this area and that area. Like, and that is the mark of a great campground manager. He wasn't just like, yep, done. Like, the sites are okay. He started to tell me what areas he was looking to landscape even more and make even nicer, which
And weren't the managers lovely at Jellystone, Maryland?
Well, and that always trickles down to staff. Every time we meet a manager, and I'm going to say something about the manager at Jellystone, he was flipping the burgers. When I ordered our lunch for that day that we were eating lunch, he was back there in the picnic basket, and he was helping to prepare lunches because I guess it was probably a busy time for burgers and pizzas and everything at the pool. And anytime we go to a campground and the manager is there, sleeves rolled up, on site.
Sleeves rolled up with the younger staff.
Yeah.
And working with them and mentoring them. It's like the whole thing flows down. And it flows down to the guest so that the guest is having a wonderful experience.
And any time that we've been at a campground where I haven't felt that, you know, staff experience was top notch, I'll be honest, I probably didn't know who the manager was. You know,
right.
It's like that managerial.
They're hiding up in an office.
Exactly.
Somewhere.
They're doing the paperwork. And I understand that that's probably a big part of running a campground. But when the managers are there and buzzing around and really involved,
well, then all the
changes.
Workers are on their best behavior and best dynamic as
well.
Yeah. So. All right. So those are five things we think that Camp Jellystone is really doing well and even helping set trends on the whole industry. We're going to come back for another segment and we're going to talk about five fun facts about Yogi Bear and Jellystone Parks. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our second segment in our big Camp Jellystone 2017 episode, and we're going to talk about five fun facts about Yogi Bear and Jellystone Park. Stephanie put these together. They're really fun. I was supposed to do it, but she got to it first. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
That's what our gravestones are going to say. Your gravestone is going to say, I was supposed to do it, but Stephanie.
Oh, my
first.
God. This is embarrassing, but it's so true. I was actually doing other work, though. But it took longer than expected. I was putting together the notes for the Campground of the Week podcast, and it was good.
All right,
I did
we have
a good,
to stop giggling.
I did a good job. I was supposed to do it, but Stephanie got there first. All right, let's read this. Hey, I always get to the black tank first.
All right.
And I always put in the sanitizer from Thetford first. So when it comes to Thetford products, I always get there first. All right.
Well, Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. So I think the real thing is Thetford got there first, Jer. So when you select a Norcold refrigerator, you are choosing a product that will provide years of trouble-free use. We can personally attest to that experience for over 6 years of owning our last trailer, and we're looking forward to the same experience with this new Octane.
To see a complete lineup of Thetford's products, visit Thetford.com. And to see a video of Stephanie using our new Thetford Sanicon, head over to our Instagram account or our Facebook page. Now, these are some really fun facts about Yogi Bear. Number one, and I'm going to let you start because you got there first.
I got there first.
What's our first fun fact about Yogi?
So I did not know this, but I had a feeling you did because I think,
because I've actually done more research.
You've done more
about
research
Yogi.
On this. All right. So he made his debut as a supporting character in 1958 on the Huckleberry Hound Show.
He's older than the Beatles. He invaded America before the Beatles, for goodness sake. 1958. That's awesome. So then he became a bigger star, though. And he actually then kind of got his own show, and he became, I think, really the most popular for Hanna-Barbera.
So in 1961, he got his own show, and then he became the star, and he was the signature character for Hanna-Barbera. So
absolutely,
but he worked his way up. I like that about Yogi. Like he started off working for somebody else,
or he slacked his way to the top.
Yeah, it just worked for him.
I think he charmed his way to the top. top,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Our second fun fact, Yogi's personality and his mannerisms are said to be based on Art Carney's Ed Norton character from The Honeymooners. And boy, oh boy, did I love The Honeymooners when I was a kid. Did you know that about me, Stephanie?
I didn't know that about you.
Can I tell you why I
love
them so much?
In fact, I would have just asked, have you ever seen The Honeymooners?
I've probably seen all of them, and you don't know why. When I was a kid, during Yankees rain delays, Channel 11 or Channel 9 would cut to The Honeymooners. So I was such a devoted Yankees fan.
Really?
I watched every game as a kid, and any rain delay cut right to The Honeymooners. And I think that after the games, they would play Honeymooners reruns as well. So I watched a ton of Honeymooners as a
kid. Why would that be their default show to cut to?
It's probably cheap to play in syndication.
The cheapest show, right?
But I didn't know that his mannerisms were based on Ed Norton from the show. But then once you put that fun fact in there, it brought back all those memories of watching The Honeymooners.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, my grandmother would watch The Honeymooners, which
it was
the
really
only,
one of the all-time popular sitcoms, I think.
Yeah. All right.
Number three, Yogi Berra, the great Yankees catcher, sued Hanna-Barbera for defamation, but later he dropped his suit when the studio claimed the name was the similarity was just a coinkydink.
Yeah.
And Yogi Berra, good guy. He was just like, all right. Okay.
Right, because they say, if you read more into it, they say that legally Hanna-Barbera would not have won the case.
Really?
Like, if he had
it
decided.
Was that close.
Yeah, because at the time, they were saying, at the time, Yogi Berra was such a household name. That
quoted by my grandfather used to say, imagine this. Was he from St. Louis?
I don't know.
Or
where
Jersey.
He's from. That's
he,
fun
he ended up living
That's
in
a
New
separate
Jersey.
Segment.
I think he came from St. Louis, ended up living in New Jersey. My grandfather used to say, imagine this kid off the streets, this kind of inarticulate kid off the streets ended up being quoted by presidents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so from what I understand, most legal experts will say he would have won. He was a celebrity. Everybody knew his name.
So they're trading off his fame.
Yes.
Right?
Like almost making a little wink wink because Yogi has his verbal manner, like picnic basket, like just because he had
and
so many.
And the name
many
is so similar. So this is so cool. In a sense, we can thank Yogi Berra for the continued existence of Yogi Berra. One of the great parts of Yogi Berra's legacy, besides his Hall of Fame catching career with the New York Yankees, one of the great catchers of all time, I met Yogi Berra as a kid. Did you know that about me? I have his autograph.
This is like
I had too much coffee before the show.
Oh my gosh. This is always better when we record at night because
I did meet Yogi Berra. He was cool. But anyway, thank you, Yogi Berra. That's a cool fact. Fun fact number four. Animation historians have discussed the symbolism of Yogi Berra and his antics, trying to break out of his proper social place. Very on point for the 60s and the social unrest of the 60s. And being that he debuted in 1958,
right,
we can thank Yogi Berra for the hippie revolution in the 1960s.
I don't know if you can go that far, but it was funny to me how seriously really a lot of these historians were taking the whole thing about him being a bear and refusing to follow bear protocol.
Following the Rangers rules.
They really, like, if you want to see, like, that historian, like, they're really, like, deconstructing this. And they were saying, like, Yogi represented all of the different parts of society at that time in the 50s and the 60s that were starting to break out of traditional stereotyped roles. And that he was, like, refusing.
The Ranger represents the World War II generation.
The man.
The man. But he's protecting nature, so it's double-edged.
Well, they're saying that it's all in a fun way. So they point out that Yogi never really harms anybody, that he's always good-natured about not wanting to be a bear.
He creeps right up to the line, though.
Exactly. So that was interesting that there's all of
My
this.
My father was a very rebellious hippie kind of guy. He loves Yogi Berra. Loved Yogi Berra. I remember him hey boo-booing all the time.
But that's what a lot of these historians are saying, is that it was appealing in a funny way to people that were saying, watch as this, you know, bear kind of puts it to the man, you know, is constantly showing them up, but in a humorous way, not in a way that's going to get you in trouble, like, say, the marching and everything like that. So it was sort of this humorous way to play off of a lot of the social unrest at the time. I thought that was interesting.
I think it's very interesting. Fun fact number five, Doug Haig, the founder of the first Jellystone Park, 1969 in Wisconsin,
yep,
right?
Mm-hmm.
2 years after the Summer of Love, 67, right, Steph? He also considered Paul Bunyan, Pocahontas and Robin Hood as recognizable figures to build his campground around.
All right. Yeah.
So how did he get onto the yogi?
This is one of those things they said that he was just doing one of those road trips. He saw all of these families with campers and he had that aha moment where he was like, you know what? These people need a place to park their camper that's like an actual destination, not just like an overnight motel kind of a stop, but like someplace that will capture their interest and keep them vacationing for a whole week. So he started off with that concept and he felt like he needed a like recognizable figure to like anchor his campground. And he was going through all of these different ideas and nothing was really sticking. The history says that he was in another room one morning. I think this is in all of the Camp Jellystone history. And it said like a cold, chilly morning in January, his kids were listening to cartoons in the other room watching Yogi cartoon. And he heard the quote, "Okay, boo-boo, let's get our picnic baskets ready. The campers are coming." And that lightning hit.
Because Yogi Bear takes place at a campground at Jellystone Park. I mean, it's like a match made in heaven.
And he was like, oh my gosh, this is what I need, a yogi. Like, it needs to be a yogi campground.
It is this perfect marriage between the cartoon and those characters and having it at a campground. The cartoon takes place at Jellystone Park at a campground.
Yeah, and I love the fact that it started out in Wisconsin and he just built this large piece of land. It really was one guy who came up with this idea, and then he got the licensing from Hanna-Barbera. They felt like it was in their best interest to give this guy the licensing.
Oh, and I'm sure it has been over the last 50
years.
Yeah,
and it just seamlessly went along, you know, like that. So I thought that was – and it grew. Two more locations, I think, opened up the very next year. Like it was – it grew rapidly.
And they're growing still.
Yeah, and they are. And you know who's going to tell us more about them growing?
Michelle Wisher.
She is.
VP of marketing.
Yeah, so stay tuned. The next segment is a great – interview with Michelle Wisher, who's going to tell us about all the fun things that are in store for Jellystone.
Yeah, they have a really quirky, creative marketing season ahead. So
yeah.
Stay tuned for Michelle. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Michelle Wisher, the Vice President of Marketing and Promotions for Leisure Systems, Inc. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, boo-boo. I'll give you a hey, boo-boo.
He always likes to open any Jellystone-themed show with a good hey, boo-boo. It is so good to have you back on. Every single year of our family's camping experience includes lots of good quality time with Yogi. It's something our kids look forward to every year, and we look forward to having you on the show. So
and we're
going
to get
here.
Off this phone call and start getting ready to go see Yogi this weekend.
Here we
That's right.
All right. So let's just start by talking about the actual Yogi Bear Jellystone brand. Some of our listeners may never have visited a Yogi Bear yet. Some of them may be going on their first trip there this summer. You know, what does it mean to be a Jellystone park? And can you just kind of explain briefly how your franchising model works?
Sure. So to be a Jellystone park, there are certain amenity requirements that we have. And that's one of the things that we are known for is our family-friendly amenities and facilities. So you'll find mini golf, jumping pillows, splash grounds, a nice variety of activities and amenities that families can participate in. And the activities as well is a big piece of Jellystone Parks. We send all of our owners and managers through what we call CARE, which is our Caring About Recreation and Entertainment training, so that they can put together recreation programs for their parks. And the parks all do theme weekends, and then in the summertime, they have activities every day. So Monday through Sunday, you will find things going on at the parks.
And, I mean, within the industry, Leisure Systems is really known for those activities and how excellent those activities are. I mean, not every Jellystone is going to have million-dollar water slides, but they're all going to have that kind of summer camp kind of feel with the activities. And what's impressed Stephanie and I is that it's for pretty much all ranges of ages with kids. It seems to be good for the little ones and teenagers as well, don't you think?
Yeah, we really try to make sure that we're having a good variety of activities that are for all ages. So some of the older kids might want to participate in the sports activities or the karaoke. Some of the younger kids, we have arts and crafts and, you know, water balloon fights and things. Well, everybody probably likes those, but
sounds like Michelle likes those.
Yeah,
especially on a hot summer day. So yeah, we really try to make sure that everybody's having fun, and the parents too, of course.
Right, and I'd appreciate it when we first started to go to the Yogi Bear campgrounds. Something I appreciated was the simplicity of some of the activities, just like the pledge at the flagpole or coloring in cartoons with Yogi. And it would give you those little bits of a break, like in the day with your kids, you know, they, instead of being on the jump pillow or in the pool, it was a nice time to just sort of take your 4-year-old or your 3-year-old and unwind and color a little. And I like that balance.
And I want to point out, a lot of our podcast listeners say that, well, first of all, that we don't talk enough about activities for teenagers at the campground. Well, we don't have teenagers yet. You guys are really good at that. And it is the sports, because there's often the basketball court, the volleyball court, and those are very active places at the Jellystone parks we've been to.
Yeah, and we're doing more also to appeal to the tween and teen audience. So we don't want to be just for little kids. I mean, Yogi is definitely a big appeal for the little ones. But as kids get older, they kind of grow out of that. So some of our parks are doing things like laser tag and the Gaga ball. And we have one park that is doing a warrior course that's kind of like America's Ninja Warrior. So we're really trying to make sure that we're, you know, hitting that full spectrum of kids' ages that might be coming to visit.
We're going to have to talk offline about this warrior course and where it is, because
I think we're going to that one.
I
think the boys might be doing ninja training this summer.
That's exciting. All right. Now, you know, I saw back in April a press release from Leisure Systems that was talking about how your year-to-date revenues were up 25% at parks across the U.S. and Canada. I mean, that is a tremendously huge growth. What do you attribute that to? What's going on at these parks that is, you know, bringing around
maybe
that kind of growth?
Maybe you guys need to, like, take over the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. We have some bigger parks that have, you know, entered the franchise. So that's making an impact. But also, I think it's even not the bigger parks, but, you know, even the smaller parks are really honing in on what we do best, which is catering to families, and they are putting in the amenities that are in demand, you know, especially water features and the sports like we talked about. And, you know, I think that the brand just continues to, even though Yogi maybe isn't out there as much anymore, I think it just continues to appeal to people. There's a sense of nostalgia there. People are yearning for a little bit of simplicity in their lives. And we just, you know, we fit well with that.
Are you seeing growth in the shoulder seasons too, in, you know, maybe say April and October? Or is most of the growth packed into the traditional summer vacation months?
We're seeing growth in the shoulder season too, especially our Texas parks. We have 7 locations in Texas now, and they saw a lot of growth this spring. especially with spring break. We have been marketing for, you know, families to spend their spring break at a Jellystone. It's a good, you know, affordable trip. So we're seeing it in spring. And then, of course, we do a big push in the fall for Halloween. And a lot of parks will do Halloween events throughout the entire month of October.
Which people should probably be booking now.
Absolutely.
If they're interested in going, because that's how competitive it's gotten to get a spot at some of these great Halloween, you know, themed weekends.
It is. Halloween is actually getting up there with, you know, the month of October weekend-wise is comparable almost to July now. It's really popular.
That's wonderful. I mean, we have so much fun on a Halloween weekend at a Yogi Bear, definitely. Is some of the growth also attributed to the merchandising? I mean, it seems like the camp stores are probably a major source of revenue for a lot of the campgrounds as well with all of that branded merchandise.
They are. Yeah, we actually have over 500 custom items. We have a license with Warner Brothers for the characters, and we create over 500 items that the parks purchase. So there's a big variety of merchandise in the stores. The parks also can, they bring in their own merchandise that has their name on it. And the stores, the ranger stations are always expanding. One of the things that we're trying to do is bring more food options into that space, because we know that when a family comes to stay, they want to just hang out. They don't necessarily want to load everybody in the car and go find a place to eat. So we're working on expanding that. We have a partnership with Nathan's Famous, which they're known for their hot dogs, but
yeah,
they have other stuff.
We're New Jersey folks. We know that. That's a great partnership.
Oh, there
for
we
you.
Go.
Yeah, that's familiar to us. But you know what, Michelle, the food option on the campground, I have to be honest, I think that this is finally taking like women into consideration on camping trips, because like the family goes on vacation, and you know what, some of us who are traditionally the food preparers, like we want a break too. It's really nice to just be able to get lunch at the snack bar while you're
and
at
last
the pool.
Year, like last summer, for instance, at the Lazy River Jellystone, we were getting nice wraps.
They were so, that was such good food.
It wasn't just burgers, hot dogs.
Yeah.
You know, there was a little more option.
And then
there.
It was really a nice break for me, too. I was like, let's just get lunch here. And I don't feel like making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And Stephanie kind of liked the tiki bar as well.
Yeah.
I mean, she did like the tiki bar.
It is. It's speaking to the entire family and what we all need to kind of unwind and take a
Michelle,
break.
Michelle, can we make tiki bars standard at Jellystone Parks? Is that something you can impose on everybody?
Hey, I'm all for that. I have three young kids of my own, so anytime I get a break from cooking, I'm all for it.
Michelle, we'll have to tell everybody, you're a twins plus one mom too, right?
Yes, I am.
So we're in a special club together.
God bless you. We're saying prayers right now.
All right. So, of course, this is always every year our What's New at Jellystone episode, you know, where we really invite you on to tell us what's going on. So tell us about some of the new parks, where they are, so our listeners can check them out online.
Yeah, so we had seven parks come on in 2016. So that was a big year for us. So we had Prince Edward Island come on, our first location there, Monticello, Iowa, which is near Cedar Rapids, Asheboro, North Carolina, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tower Park, Lodi area in California, the Finger Lakes region, New York, and then Guadalupe River, Kerrville, Texas.
Now, that's covering the entire country. I mean, that's a lot of geographical diversity there. So was that exciting as well to see that you were growing from Canada, the Atlantic provinces, all the way to California?
Definitely. You know, we're mostly concentrated in the Midwest and the Northeast. But, you know, we want to be more in the West, and we want more locations in the South, too. We have seven in Texas, so Texas is going well for us, but we would love to expand, you know, more into the South and the West.
Well, it just seems like a good model for the South, because if you have a longer camping season, a longer water season, and so many of these parks are just really developing their water features, it seems like a good fit for a campground.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, while we're on that note, if any of your listeners are interested in going from visiting a campground to owning a campground, if that's something that they're interested in, we're actually having our first prospective owners workshop this September to introduce the camping ownership idea to people, not just for Jellystone. I mean, of course, we're going to talk about Jellystone, but just more in general in terms of financing and those kinds of things. Do you build? Do you buy an existing? So if anybody out there is interested in possibly being a campground owner, you want to check that out at jellystonefranchise.com. That's our
Link to that. Michelle, I'll link to that in the show.
Okay, we do have campground owners that listen.
We do. And we say that the smartest campground owners listen to campers, right? Because then they're hearing what's actually on the street.
I want to stick on this geographical thing for a minute. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Michelle. What's the challenge out west? I mean, is it because there's such a well-developed system of state campgrounds and federal campgrounds? It seems like there just are less resort type campgrounds in general out west, where people in the Northeast and the South are more used to that model.
I think that's part of it, yes. I also think that in some of the markets, they are really geared towards an older demographic, especially if you get into like Arizona, for example. They're geared towards the snowbirds, and they don't necessarily want to be a family campground and everything that comes along with that, which is, you know, the activities and that sort of thing.
And the kids themselves.
The kids, yeah, the kids have to come along with that,
and
too.
And the kids themselves. I know, it's funny when I hear, you know, comments sometimes where people say, I stayed at Jellystone and there were too many kids.
And you said, well, then we're doing it right.
Some of the happiest Jellystone campers that Stephanie and I have met over the last 3 or 4 years are often the grandparents who are maybe seasonals at a Jellystone, who are bringing their grandkids every weekend. I mean, that seems to be
enjoyed actually meeting some of the retirees at Jellystones and seeing that them, you know, they've talked to us and they said, we love being here. It keeps us young.
Lazy River, there's that gentleman who said, I'm the oldest man to go down the water slide.
Every year he goes down the water slide.
He was like 82.
I love that. I mean, there's nothing better. We love that couple. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you're hitting your mark if somebody
says
there's
a lot of
couples. But for
the young at heart, obviously. I mean, not every snowbird is going to want to be in a Jellystone, but there are plenty of them that would, I think.
Yeah, there are. And we see a lot of grandparents bringing their grandkids to our parks. And that's great. Exactly like you said, if you're young at heart, you're going to love it.
Now, the parks that have been in your system for a while now are still doubling down. You know, you mentioned that this is a feature of your company right now, is that you're really encouraging your campgrounds to invest in themselves. And that's such a smart thing to do. So what are some of those fun new additions, and what are some of the campgrounds doing out there to sort of grow and add new flavor and, you know, interest to their campground?
Yeah, we have a lot going on with expansions and additions. Some of the biggest ones to talk about are Cave City, Kentucky, which is near Mammoth Cave National Park. They are actually doing a $10.7 million expansion going on this year and in 2018. So just some of the things that they are doing, they're adding 200 RV sites, 31 cabins, a splash beach, 5 new playgrounds, a pedal cart track, and the list goes on from there. Those are just some of the highlights. So that's a really big, exciting expansion that's going on.
And obviously there must be internal evidence that adding the water park, adding the water slides is good for revenue, right? I mean, or else it wouldn't keep happening. I mean, obviously a campground that's going to add all that stuff might charge a little bit more, but it seems like people love it. I mean, the Jellystones we go to in the summer are sold out when we are there.
Yeah, the water features are really in demand. Really, the only thing that beats out a water feature is Wi-Fi. We found that when we when we did a survey, that Wi-Fi was the number one. You've got to have Wi-Fi.
But were you asking 6-year-olds?
That's what mom and dad said, Wi-Fi. The kids said the water feature.
Exactly. But then after that, it's the water features.
Does that put pressure on the smaller parks, though, when they see the larger parks adding these incredible, basically like water parks attached to the campground?
Oh, it does. It does put some pressure on the smaller ones. So there's some different things they can do. Instead of the big, you know, splash park, you can put in a smaller, you know, splash pad type of area. And they can also ramp up their activities like we talked about, because not everyone is going to be able to do a big water park.
And
so
we always
they
say,
make up for it another way.
If you ask our twin boys, do you want to go to the water park or do you want to play Gaga Ball?
Or kickball.
They're going to go play Gaga Ball over that amazing water park. So
one of their favorite things at the Jellystones that we've stayed at, one that we were at in Indiana last year, is just the organized sports, not just the activities, but the organized sports, so that they knew that at 11 o'clock every morning they could go and play a kickball game with a camp counselor that was over there.
And that's available to any campground owner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's going to borrow $10 million to build all that
stuff.
And
they didn't have to hire a new person to run that. It was, you know, a counselor that was there all day, probably doing a lot of other things. But at 11 every morning, she took a break and went over and ran a game with a bunch of kids. And those things are affordable and they have big payoff to families like ours.
They do. Yeah. And I'm glad that, you were able to enjoy that. That is something that the parks, like I said, the smaller parks can make up for not being able to, you know, do the big water park by increasing some of their activities. And they don't have to be complicated. Like you said, they can be simple. It could be a potato sack race, you know, some of those nostalgic type of activities are really fun.
I think you're so right in pointing out the nostalgia factor of this. I have to be honest, before we started visiting Yogi Bear Jellystone Parks, I don't know if I ever would have shown our boys like Yogi cartoons or the Yogi movie, but because we were visiting, we showed them like a DVD of the cartoons. They watch, and even now our 4-year-old will watch those Yogi cartoons on loop.
I will.
Yeah, right. It's very family. Yeah.
But there's also some funny humor in there. There's a Cold War humor in the Yogi Bear cartoons. I love it to death.
Yeah, so I think nostalgic.
Yeah, those cartoons they're a lot of fun. And actually, Boomerang has a streaming service now, and Yogi Bear is one of the cartoons that they have on there.
Oh, so you can stream Yogi. He's coming to the 21st century there. Yogi's on streaming.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll have to get that because he's not on Hulu, I don't think.
Now, I saw on social media some tiny houses popping up on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. So what is this? What are these tiny houses that are showing up at some Jellystones?
So they're super cute, first of all, but there's three tiny houses. They're tiny house RVs. They're actually portable. And they are on a tour this summer at 4 of our locations. And there's a Boo Boo tiny house, a Cindy Bear, and a Yogi Bear. And the interior and the exterior color choices are based on the characters. So the Cindy is pink, the Yogi is green, the Boo Boo is blue. And if you've ever watched, you know, Tiny House Hunters on HGTV or any of those types of shows, I mean, tiny homes are a big rage right now. So it's a fun way for somebody to, you know, try out the tiny home lifestyle if they're thinking about that, or just stay in a really cute tiny house.
What does the ranger think of all this?
Things are out of control.
What does the ranger think?
Why doesn't he have his own tiny
I know.
House?
I guess he didn't get his own, did he? I don't know.
I think he's going to be upset.
He's probably disappointed.
What's his color palette? I don't know. But it took us a while to see Ranger.
So these are on tour at different parks for, what, like a week at a time or something like that?
About 2 weeks at a time, they'll be going to the different parks. So you can, you can rent one while they're at a specific location. If you go to campjellystone.com and search on Tiny Tour, it'll pop up.
I'll link to that blog post too in the show notes, okay, so everybody can just find it right through there. All right.
Yeah.
So now Canada is celebrating its 150th anniversary this summer. And I think that, weren't you guys doing some celebrating along with them for that?
We are. So we have 5 locations in Canada. And like you said, it's the 150th anniversary. So what we're doing is, if you stay at one of our Canada parks in the month of June, you'll be entered to win. And there are 3 different prizes you could win. You'll either win a week stay, a 5-night stay, or I think it's a 3-night stay, plus Jellystone Park gift cards for all of those winners. So that's something fun to take advantage of if you're thinking about, you know, staying in Canada. Visit one of those parks in June, and you're automatically entered to win.
All right. Now, I heard about the Nathan's Hot Dogs already, and I'm pretty excited about that. Are there any other exciting partnerships that we should keep an eye out for when we're visiting our Jellystones this summer?
Well, in terms of food, I mean, Hunt Brothers Pizza is another one that we're working with to bring pizza into the parks. But beyond food, there are some other partnerships that we are kicking off. One of the big ones right now is with the National Wildlife Federation. So they put on the Great American Campout every year. And what they do is they ask people to pledge to camp. And it can be in a campground, it can be in a national park, it can be in your backyard. They just want to get people more involved in the outdoors and experiencing the outdoors. So we have partnered with them, and anybody who pledges, and it's free to pledge, they will be entered to win either the grand prize is actually a Keystone RV. It's their new Bullet Colt RV. That's the grand prize, which is an awesome grand
prize.
That
sounds like a pretty awesome grand prize to me.
Our eyes just got really big. We're like, what?
I thought Michelle was going to be like a free weekend.
I thought a free night of camping, and then I hear an RV. Okay.
So the grand prize is an RV, and then the runner-up prize is a week at Jellystone plus a $500 gift card for travel expenses and a $250 Jellystone Park gift card.
Solid.
That is solid.
So how do we?
Awesome.
How do people listening get into this? How do they enter?
So campjellystone.com/campout. So that'll be another link you'll have to post. But you can go to there and you can pledge.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good contest, and we'll have to share that on social media too. Because how exciting would it be for somebody to win a new RV? That's super, super exciting. All right, any other partnerships? I don't know how we're going to top that, but
we have another partnership with RV Share that just launched. So, as you know, the cabins, you had mentioned it earlier, the cabins are really popular and they tend to fill up at the parks. So, but we want people to be able to experience the parks even if they can't get into a cabin, and let's say they don't own their own RV. So RV Share is like Airbnb, but for RVs. So it's individual RV owners that rent their units. So if you want to experience a Jellystone and you can't get into a cabin, or maybe you just want to try the RV lifestyle, you can rent through RV Share. And you can either pick up the unit and drive it, or in some cases, the owner will take it to the park and set it up for you. So all you have to do is show up.
Great way to test out the RV lifestyle. All right. Now, I can't imagine that there's any of our listeners out there that don't have at least one Yogi Bear trip planned for this summer after listening to this episode.
One of our listeners said they were yogi-holics.
Yeah, they can.
Yesterday.
Well, it can happen.
Oh, nice. I like that.
So what are some of your personal – you're an expert, Michelle. What are some of your personal tips for, you know, really getting the most out of a Jellystone vacation?
So I would say join Club Yogi Rewards. That's our loyalty program. So it works very similar to a hotel rewards program. It's free to join. You earn points based on your stays at the park, and then you can redeem for free nights. You can also redeem for merchandise online. So that's a fun program, and you also, with your kids, you can register them for our birthday club, and they will get a postcard in the mail, and that includes a free gift. So when you go to the park, you can pick up your free gift, and kids love that part of it.
Sounds great.
I know. I kind of feel like we failed as parents because our kids aren't registered
both looking
in
at
the
each other
birthday
like,
club.
All right, we're going to get on that right after this interview.
You need to sign them up.
Oops. What are some other tips, Michelle?
Well, I was thinking about some different ways that campers can save money. I mean, everybody wants a deal, right? So we have s'more deals on Camp Jellystone, and you can search for deals across the franchise by date and location. So that's a really good tool. Also a tip is the rates are reduced during the week. So if you're able to take your trip Sunday through Thursday, you're going to get a reduced rate than what you would find on the
something
weekend.
Else is reduced too, and that would be like the crowds at the water park or at the Bounce Pillow. You're going to have fewer people there, which is really nice.
Right, true. And then for a lot of parks do a free night type of deal where you stay X number of nights and then you get a free night. So I know, for example, the Bloomington, Indiana park, you stay for 5 nights, you pay for 4, stay for 7 nights, pay for 5.5 nights. So that's a great way to really make a vacation out of your trip and save some money.
So it sounds like our listeners want to go to CampJellystone.com, but then also look at the individual parks in their areas to see what, you know, discounts might be going on at those unique parks as well.
Exactly. Yeah, Camp Jellystone, you can get the s'more deals information there. But if you have a park that you want to visit, I would recommend going directly to their website. And most parks have, you know, like a special offers or a deals page, and you can see what they're offering.
Well, there. Michelle, I love the fact that when we asked you about insider tips, you went straight to the money, because that shows that you are a mom. You understand that Yogi is serving families, you know, and you understand that the budget matters. So, you know, that's really helpful.
I have to say that, you know, over the last 3 years, we tell everybody, this is a great bargain for family fun, because at so many of these places, you're not just getting the camping experience, you're getting all of the activities and all of the amenities combined in that price. And you always have to look at a Jellystone that way. It's more than just a campsite for the night. And we think it's a terrific bargain for families to get out and have a lot of fun. Now, Michelle, you were going to tease us a little bit with maybe giving us some vague idea of where some new locations might be popping up. Is this true?
It is. That is true. I have some insider information for your listeners. So we have some new parks that are hopefully going to be coming on board here soon. And I can't tell you exactly where they're at, but we have one in Iowa, one in Missouri, and one in Ohio.
And we have listeners in all of those places who will be very interested in the new parks when they come on board. And we'll be interested in hearing about it from you, because we always love to have you on the show. Michelle, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat with us again today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right,
absolutely.
We're
anytime.
Gearing up. We are ready for a solid summer of Yogi fun. All right. So we'll see
Good.
You at the
Good.
Campground.
See you at the campground, Michelle. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode number 144 of RV Family Travel Atlas, What's New at Camp Jellystone 2017. And in the show notes, Steph, can we link to some of our other Jellystone podcasts? Because this is the third one we've done in our history. And then maybe we'll link to the different Yogi campgrounds that we've reviewed on Campground of the Week. So big thank you to Michelle Wisher for that great interview. And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to the Thetford Corporation, to Cabela's, to Highway West Vacations, and to Go RVing. And a big thank you to you, Cindy Bear.
Oh, geez.
For always getting the job done. And so often getting there first.
Thanks, Yogi, for making me laugh about it. All right.
And to all you boo-boos out there and all you rangers.
All right.
We'll
see
you.
Keep those picnic baskets close.
We'll see you at the campground.
Bye-bye.